Thank you very much. Please do keep Psalm 23 open in front of you. If the best known verse in the Bible is John 3:16, then I'm sure the best known chapter in the Bible is the one we've just had read to us. The Lord's my shepherd. People who know very little else about the Christianity or the Bible, many of them will know those words. The Lord's my shepherd. The trouble is we tend to have the wrong view of sheep. We think they're fluffy, we think they're impish, we think of Shaun the sheep. Whereas in reality, sheep are dumb. They are almost unfathomably dumb. I heard recently of an incident that happened in Turkey. A group of shepherds were distracted from their flock of sheep. They were having breakfast and were neglecting the flock. One of the sheep walked off a cliff. 1,500 sheep followed. The only reason 1,100 survived was their fall was broken by the 400 that didn't. Sheep are dumb. They're also defenseless. They don't have any claws. They don't have any horns. They're not fast. They're not agile. Whereas a dog can at least growl, or a cat can hiss, or a lion can roar, all a sheep can do is bark. And so a sheep left to itself is basically a ready meal for many other animals. And so when God in the Bible compares us to sheep, he's not paying us a compliment. He's not saying we're sweet and we're cuddly. He's saying we're hopeless. And we are unfathomably stupid. We also have the wrong view of shepherds. We tend to hear the word shepherd and we think of a little boy with a Marks and Spencer's towel on his head. But the reality is being a shepherd, particularly in the time of David, was hard, physical, and very dangerous work. The shepherd was the sheep's guide, protector, provider, rescuer, and vet. In other words, the shepherd was everything to the sheep. And that is the message of this psalm tonight, that the Lord is everything to his people. Let's pray now that God would underline that truth in our hearts. Our Father, we praise you that we can spend time together looking at your word, and we pray that as we do so, we would be led by you. Help us, please, to delight in the shepherd that you've given us. And we pray in that shepherd's wonderful name. Amen. Well, if you have a look at the beginning of the psalm, it says a psalm of David. Those titles are part of the original text. They're part of scripture. It is, as with many others we've been studying over the summer, a psalm of David. Now, sometimes, and I hope we've begun to see this, sometimes David writes just as a man. And he might be confessing his sin or something like that. At other times, we've seen David writes as the Christ. And so he says things that either don't fit him well or don't fit him at all. But there are other times when David writes, if you like, as a typical follower of God. And while Psalm 23 could easily be words that Jesus might say of God the Father, actually the New Testament encourages us to think of Jesus not so much as the sheep, but as the shepherd. This psalm is the most famous part of the Bible to speak about God being a shepherd, but it's not the first. Even back in Genesis chapter 48, Jacob could say, God has been my shepherd all my life to this day. And throughout the Old Testament, there was this great promise that God himself would come and be a shepherd to his people. And so when Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd, it's not a bolt out of the blue. It is what God has been promising all this time. And so Psalm 23 is about what it is like to have Jesus as your shepherd. It is a sheep's eye view of the Christian life. And I hope for many of us who are Christians, it will refresh us and remind us why we follow Jesus and nobody else. And I hope for any of us here tonight who are still thinking through the Christian faith, my prayer is that you would long to have a shepherd like this. And that even before you go home tonight, that you might do so. So let us look at what this psalm tells us about our shepherd, Jesus Christ. Four things. The first one we'll spend a bit of time on. The last three will be more brief. The first thing is Jesus satisfies. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters. A shepherd provides for the sheep. The shepherd gets the sheep to grass, gets the sheep to water. And I'm told from verse 2 that sheep are very jumpy animals. They only ever lie down when they know they're safe, when they're happy. And David makes this extraordinary claim in verse 1, that if Jesus is your shepherd, you will not be in want. Now that is a statement of enormous trust in Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. It's not about how we feel, but about how it is. David is not talking about subjective experience, whether we feel we have everything in life that we could ever want. It's about an objective reality. If God is your shepherd, then actually you won't be in want. The grass will never actually be greener somewhere else. If Jesus is on your case, if he is looking after you, you will not be lacking. Jesus knows how to provide. It doesn't mean we'll have everything that we want. It means we will lack nothing that we need. The New Testament puts the same truth in a slightly different way in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Which begs the obvious question, what is the good? Well, that verse continues, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. The good to which God is driving everything in your life, if you know him, is that you would be like Jesus. To be like Jesus is our greatest need. And as we get to know that shepherd, it is what we most want. More than anything else, as we go on in the Christian life, our greatest longing should be to be like our Savior Jesus. That is why, back to Psalm 23, verse 3, it's why he guides us in paths of righteousness, training us to become more and more like Jesus. And to that end, becoming like him, we will lack nothing that we need. Now, I want us just to spend a few minutes kind of drilling into that before we sort of move on to what the rest of the psalm tells us. I want us to think about that in relation to physical needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. That does not mean that every physical need you have will always be met. David himself could testify that there are times in life when we don't have what we'd like to have. We may not have our health. We may not have money. We may not have employment. We may not have security. We may have times of acute material need. But Psalm 23 says that doesn't mean God has stopped being good to you. It means even then we can still say, I will not be in want. Now, as a church family, if there are friends of ours in that situation, we need to help. The Bible calls us when we see a Christian brother or sister in need to provide and to help them. But if we are the person in need, we need to trust our shepherd that this time of need might be one of those paths that he is using to lead us on to the green pasture to come. Friends, just think of the Christians in Syria who were going through something absolutely horrific. We don't know what's going to happen in Syria. It is very likely whoever wins, the Christians will lose. They are being brutalized. And looking at this psalm, my prayer and my hope is that for many of them, there will be faith rising up within them that can say, well, I might lose my home. I might lose all my possessions. I might even lose my life, but I will not be in want because God is my shepherd. He is with me. And one day I'll be with him in the new creation. And every day now is preparation for that time, making me more and more like him. Friends, if God is what we most cherish, if Jesus is who we most treasure, then we will always be able to say verse 1. If the Lord is my shepherd, ultimately I will not be in want. Now that doesn't mean, again, we're indifferent when we see Christians in need. And just a heads up, our harvest collection in a few weeks' time, our plan is to give to relief work in Syria. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not be in want. How does that relate to emotional needs? Again, it doesn't mean that every emotional need we experience will be met. Friends, there may be times when you lack the companionship that you crave. Times when you don't feel that sense of family that you long for. There may be times of acute emotional longings that are going unfulfilled. And again, Psalm 23 says that doesn't mean God has stopped being good to you. Now again, we need to help. We are called to be family to one another. But for those of us in that situation of acute need, we need to trust the shepherd. We need to be able to say, verse 1, if the Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in want. I lack no good thing that I need in Christ. And the great tragedy is when we stop trusting the goodness of Jesus. And we think, well, I'm sorry, but he's not doing his job. I've got these needs. If he won't meet them, someone else will. And friends, speaking from experience here at St. Mary's, the most common way that happens is through illicit relationships. Now, I don't want to say this because I know I'm treading on some very, very tender ground for a number of us in this room tonight. But please let me say what the Bible says, which is it is a sin to marry someone who is not a Christian if you are a believer. And therefore, it is enormous folly to start down that route. Please trust the goodness of your shepherd. Jesus himself says that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And that is precisely what Jesus has done as he hung on that cross and bore our sin for us. In a few moments, we're going to be taking bread and wine as we share the Lord's Supper together. And please, as you take that bread and wine, ask yourself this question: if he has given his life for me, is it even possible he could be lacking in his care for me? He satisfies. May not be what we feel, but friends, it is how it is. He satisfies. Secondly, he restores. Again, sheep have enormous capacity for getting themselves into trouble. I've been learning all about sheep this week. One of the ways sheep get into trouble is they become what's called cast. They end up on their back and unable to move. Sometimes it happens if they roll over when they're sleeping or if they fall and stumble, and it is incredibly dangerous. And they need to be restored. One of the things a shepherd does is tries to get them back up on their feet. And again, we are like that. We have an incredible capacity for getting ourselves into a mess. We let our hearts be drawn away from God. Or we become bitter about something that's happened. Or we persist in sin of one kind or another. Or we get consumed by our ambitions. And we need to be restored. We need the shepherd to get us back on our feet. And that is precisely what Jesus does for us. David says, he restores my soul spiritually, flips me back up the right way. A few weeks ago, we learnt in Psalm 19 that it is the word of God that revives our soul. Jesus said his sheep follow him because they know his voice. It is through his word that he restores us when we're drifting away from him. And it may actually be what Jesus is doing right now as we look at this psalm together. I hope for some of us, restoring us. And friends, we may not like it at the time, but isn't it wonderful to have a God who corrects us? A God who disagrees with us. A God who confounds us because he loves us. It's not always easy. There are times when we even resent it. Actually, we can be more stupid than sheep sometimes. We actually want to be cast. But we have a shepherd who restores our souls. So he satisfies, he restores. Thirdly, he accompanies us. Have a look at verse 4. The tone of the psalm changes abruptly in verse 4. Verses 1 to 3 are ones we're used to seeing on pretty posters and sort of soft focus kind of things like that. You don't get many posters of verse 4, where David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And it's a reminder to us, this psalm is set in the real world. For all the imagery of green pastures and still waters, it isn't a Disney movie. There are dark places, dark valleys in this world, and none more dark than death itself, the valley of the shadow of death. And again, sometimes those dark places are the very paths along which God guides us to green pasture. And so when we find ourselves in those valleys, it's not because God's lost control, it's not because the devil has put us in there. But it's not just the tone that changes in verse 4. Notice David goes from talking about God to talking to God. He goes from speaking about God as he to addressing God as you. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And it's surely significant that it's at the point where David is thinking about the dark place that he starts addressing God directly in prayer. And many believers have said it is often the time that is hardest in which the presence of God is sweetest. So friends, let the crises of life draw you closer to God. Let those be the times when you stop talking about God and talk to him. But there's more than that. It's not just that God is present in the dark valley. Actually, when it comes to death, God is the only one who can be present. He's the only one who can actually accompany us at that particular point. I was hearing a friend of mine recently talking about watching their best friend die. They'd been able to spend a good amount of time with him. This friend had been ill for some time. And this friend of mine was saying that his friend eventually died in his arms. And he said, you know, I could be with him up to that point. But when it came to death, I could be with him no further. But in Jesus, we have one who can. Even through death, David can say of Jesus, "You are with me." And we know that because Jesus himself has been through death and come out victorious. And so we know he can take us through death as well. We can trust him. In verse 4, David says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The shepherd had a rod to fight off anything that might attack the sheep. And the staff was there to keep guiding the sheep on the right path. And so it is too with Jesus. He will let nothing separate us from his love. Now, I got very wound up recently. I saw on the news that they have, I'm getting wound up thinking about it, Oxford Dictionary has now said that the word literally doesn't literally have to mean literally. It can just mean really. Don't get me started on that. That aside, ignoring the Oxford English Dictionary, ignoring the way people often use that word, let me say truthfully, according to Psalm 23, there is literally no part of our existence that we ever have to face on our own if Jesus is our shepherd. You may have some wonderfully dear friends, some wonderfully close family, who would do anything for you and would make sure they would always be there for you. But it is only this shepherd who can be with you through death and beyond. He accompanies even at that point. And then finally, in the last couple of verses, he befriends. He befriends us. In verse 5, the imagery changes from sheep in a pasture to guests in a home. So verse 5, David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And you might wonder why the metaphor changes. Why didn't the psalm just end at the end of verse 4? And I take it it's because the shepherd image can't convey friendship. Shepherds in the ancient world were wonderfully committed to their sheep. They would have known each sheep individually. Many of them would have known the names of the sheep and the names of the parents of the sheep. I'm sure they would have been very fond of them. But they wouldn't have seen those sheep as equals or peers. And yet look at the picture David gives us of our God in verse 5. "You prepare a table before me." It's a wonderful image that of a full table of oil being put on the head. That was how you made a fuss of someone in those days. And of a full cup. I guess the equivalent for us is you're there at the table, you've got a plate full of food, lots of nice things to drink. And even there, the host is pulling your chair up for you, putting a nice serviette on your lap. It is wonderful hospitality. And I take it these verses are here to show us that Jesus doesn't just provide for us, he doesn't just lead us and guide us, he doesn't just restore us and accompany us. Actually, he befriends us. And again, friends, there is no other religion that has anything remotely close to this. A God who would pull up a chair at the same table with you to have fellowship with you. Again, what an amazing thing to think as we take Holy Communion. We're not sat at a table, but metaphorically we are. We are dining at the table of our Lord. We have a shepherd who doesn't just provide for us, but who delights to sit with us, to fellowship with us. Jesus says in John 15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus calls us his friends. He lets us in on what he's doing. He involves us in his plans. He's not aloof or condescending, but he is close. Even in the presence of our enemies, Jesus is our friend. And so David can say, and we will finish with verse 6, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life." There will never be a day when you are not experiencing the goodness and love of Jesus. And when it says goodness and love will follow me, he doesn't mean they kind of lag behind and sort of slowly tag along. He means they pursue. Think blue flashing lights and high speed. The love and goodness of your shepherd will pursue you every single day of your life. And as well as that great comfort in the present, David has a wonderful hope for the future. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a shepherd. He satisfies. Why go anywhere else? What is lacking in Jesus Christ that you would want to go anywhere else? He restores us. He corrects us. He accompanies us even where nowhere else, no one else can go. And amazingly, he befriends us. As we saw last week, he is not ashamed of calling us his brothers. Let me pray. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Our Father, please help us to believe those words, to know the truth of them deep in our hearts, even when life is difficult. May we not chase other things in this world that would seem to satisfy. But would we look to the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus, who surpasses anything else this world has to offer. Our Father, when our hearts stray, please bring us back. And if there are any souls tonight that need to be restored, Father, please convict and cause us to come back to you. If we've been neglecting the Good Shepherd and not following him, help us before we leave this evening to come back to him, to hear his voice calling us, to know again his goodness to us. And Father, please help all of us who know Jesus to be led by him this week. Would we cherish him above everything else? Would our greatest joy in life be the knowledge of the fact that we will dwell in his house forever? And as we take bread and wine in a few moments, please assure us of these truths. Strengthen and nourish our faith. Help us to taste the goodness of Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.